Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome to the show Akushla Bastable. She is a performer, director, and writer, and she has put together and is performing in an event that is happening this Sunday called Celebrating the Irish Imagination. It's part of the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum series, and it's happening at the Museum Education Annex on Grant Avenue here in Santa Fe, Sunday at 3 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So you are Irish and celebrating the Irish imagination. I mean, that's a lot of imagination we're talking about.
It's a bit vast, yes.
It's a bit vast. I mean, I was wondering what it was like. I mean, here we are, both you and I, from English-speaking countries, but with such a vast difference between how we grow up, especially in our experience of literature and poetry.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up, my mother, I was thinking about this morning, my mother was very fond of quoting, she still is, of quoting bits of poetry, Yeats and not so much Joyce, but Yeats and Shakespeare, and but also O'Casey from plays, and so I kind of grew up with that around me. But I also went to an Irish speaking school for my secondary education. So what you would call the middle and high school system here, I went to.
An Irish-speaking school? So yeah. It was a bilingual school?
It wasn't. It was all Irish-speaking.
So is that right?
Yeah. So, and that, I mean, for me, that's in some sort of strange and roundabout way, for me, my grounding certainly in sort of poetry, because there were a number of poets I was introduced to then who were writing in Irish. But also you become, I think, going to an Irish-speaking school, I became intensely aware of its role in the history of Ireland, and also not just its role in the history of Ireland, but its role in the cultural history of Ireland. And now, I mean, there are very few people who actually speak Irish as Gaelgors, which are fluent Irish-speaking people who speak Irish all the time. There are very few. There's some pockets on the west coast and the northwest coast, and some in the southwest as well of Ireland. But generally, it's an English-speaking country.
Right.
I think that exposure to speaking and learning Irish and learning about sort of its role in the sort of cultural evolution of Ireland, certainly in the last 200 years, had a profound effect on me. And so many poems now, you know, when you read Yeats, and I'm sure so many people here are very aware of W.B. Yeats, because his work has sort of captured the imaginations of people in many different places. But when you read his poetry, you realize how connected it is to, and he was writing over like 40-year span, so from the really from the 1880s, late 1880s through to the 1940s, and it gives you a snapshot of what was happening in Ireland at the time and the changes that were happening. So I sort of, that's a roundabout way of answering your question, but I sort of feel that growing up in Ireland, I felt that poetry was integral to my own personal sort of growth.
So what is Irish poetry like, and then the English language poetry in Ireland? I mean, are they completely separate strands? Do they intersect?
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, there are people like Maeve Ní Gucain, who's a great Irish poet, and she writes both in Irish and in English. There's Nuala Ní Chonaill, she only writes in Irish, but she is translated by Maeve Ní Gucain into English. And then there are others, of course, that do. There's a smaller readership for people writing in Irish, of course, because even, you know, people of my generation, many of them, you know, learned Irish at school, but didn't really have any use for it afterwards. So they never didn't really become very conversant with it, very fluent with it. I mean, they were much more interested in learning French or German, because that sort of felt like a much more useful language. More useful languages to learn.
Since
we're part of Europe, yeah.
Could you recite or say maybe a verse of of poetry in the Irish language, just so that people can hear what it sounds like?
Sure, I've got actually a poem. Got a poem from Nuala. It's called Gyasa, which means the bond. Okay. Mo chwyrim ein lov ir an jarman banaha. Mo hogam drihid haran awen. Gacha mian toka islo agus na kiardaha. Bian si lagha ir madan rom. Tagam anias an awen istiha be bod is ban an a shasivinti. To kuna le lasa in a sul is in a lova to roa vada roa aki.
That's only part of the poem. But
right. And can you tell us, is there a translation there, or can you tell us what it means?
Yeah, it means love is the Irish for hand. And so it means, if I use my forbidden hand to raise a bridge across the river, all the work of the builders has been blown up by sunrise. So sunrise is like Madan. Madan is the morning or the sunrise. And then a boat comes up the river by night with a woman standing in it, twin candles lit in her eyes and two oars in her hands. So the translation takes some liberties, to be honest with you, but they're good liberties. They're fine. It's good. And you know, for me, it's the resonance, it's the sound of the language in my throat and in my body that it feels so powerful, I think. And you know, you'll read certainly John Millington Singh was writing in the early part of the century, and one of the things he did, well, he was encouraged by Yeats actually to go out to the west of Ireland and to go to the islands off the west coast of Ireland, to Achill Island. Oh no, excuse me, that was Henry. He went to the Aran Islands, which are off Galway, and he went out there and he spent many summers there, and he was really trying to sort of listen to the people. He learned Irish when he was out there. He had learned it when he was younger, but he wasn't really that familiar with it. And he went out and he really learned it. And then what he did is he took what he felt was the essence of that and created an idiom in English that tried to capture some of the sort of fantastical imagination and fantastical stories and ways of life of the people in the West, because he was really interested in the peasant people, but not because because he was compelled by their reality, because you know I think he felt at the time that there was an emphasis on very intellectual drama, the Ibsens and Zola, and but he wanted to sort of create a different kind of social drama, which was all about the fantastic reality that could be found amongst the peasant people and their great sense of humor. So like there's the
play. It sounds like Latin American magic realism.
Right. Yeah. That's good. That's a good parallel to draw. Well, it is actually when you read, I don't know if you've ever read, there's a great book called The People of the Sea, and by David Thompson, and he writes, it's about the Selkies, which are the seals and the seal people, the people who are sort of closely connected to the seals on the west coast and of Ireland and in the Shetlands, and the stories that have come out of that, and also actually Singh wrote sort of a diary almost of his time in the Aran Islands, and the stories are fantastical. So when he created his Playboy of the Western World in 1907, which is probably his most famous play, and it caused riots in Dublin. I mean, there were riots at the Abbey Theatre.
I love it when they riot over art.
No, I know. I was actually thinking about that recently and nostalgically,
right.
that art can affect. But that was actually very true of how poetry and literature went hand in hand with the cultural and political evolution of the country and or history of the country, so that would mean something. It would, and because it was also because it was the portrayal of the people, and people took sort of umbrage at that. But it's a fantastic play, and in some ways he says there's nothing. He said there are very few things that I write that I have not heard somewhere, and so he contended that basically the fantastical is to be found within the real, and it's just about revealing that in some way. And so that was his. And O'Casey does the same thing. Sean O'Casey, who wrote Juno and the Paycock and The Plough and the Stars, and you know, sort of very important pieces in certainly in Irish cultural history. And but he takes the citizenry of Dublin, so the poor people of Dublin, and he creates this beautiful pieces of poetic drama. Really, they are very, very strongly poetic. So hopefully on Sunday, now when I give this presentation, this sort of performative reading, we will get to hear a little bit of O'Casey.
Now, is that work popular with the people whom it portrays?
Well, I mean, yeah, actually, I think it was Juno and the Paycock that actually, there were riots at that too. So that was in the teens or 20s, I can't remember which, but that caused riots too. So in some ways, yes, but in some ways, some people sort of felt it was sort of slanderous or... But often the people responding weren't necessarily the people about whom or, you know, that he was drawing on, that these writers were drawing on. They weren't necessarily the people going into the theatre anyway.
Right.
Because, you know, these writers were writing at a time when there was such a huge interest in the revival of Irish culture and the language and mythology. And so you sort of see a lot of people writing. There's James Stephens writes a thing called The Crock of Gold, a book called The Crock of Gold, and it sort of gathers a number of he recreates sort of some Irish fairy stories, and so there was a huge interest in that. And yes, I mean, I think there was reaction to it, but it wasn't necessarily always from, it wasn't necessarily the people about whom it was being written that were taking umbrage. I think they were busier just trying to make a living, to be honest
right,
with you.
Right, right. We're talking to Akushla Bastable. Now, this event, Celebrating the Irish Imagination, Sunday at 3 o'clock, why is the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum putting this on?
That's a good question. Well, currently the O'Keeffe has an exhibition by an American artist called Robert Henry, and it's called The Road to Corrymore, I believe. And Robert Henry spent a number of summers on the Achill Island, which is off the northwest coast of Ireland, so off the coast of Mayo. And he was the portraits that are up at the exhibition are of children. He was very interested in doing portraits of children, and so one of the reasons they speculate that he went to Ireland is because he met with John Yeats, who was W.B. Yeats and Jack Yeats' father, and he met with him in Paris, and he heard him reciting sections from the Playboy of the Western World and also Yeats's poetry. So he was inspired by hearing that, because Yeats was also part of that whole community. We're really intent on sort of trying to find the romantic view of Ireland. What was the ideal Irishman, you know? And he has actually some great poems that that we'll look at certainly on Sunday, and I'll read sections from that, you know, he created a very romanticized view of Ireland. And I think that Henry was very inspired by that. I mean, if you think about it, it's the turn of the 20th century. So much is becoming mechanized, and there's so much that's changing. The art world was changing. He had just been at the 1913 Armory Show. And
perhaps the most influential art exhibition in the history of the planet Earth.
Exactly. I mean, that's when, you know, the art world changed.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of sort of change happening within the world. And I think he was also looking for something simple, noble, beautiful. And he found it in the people of Achill Island. And you'd really see it if you go to the exhibition. You see it's a very it's a beautiful tribute to those people. And so he was there. And as I say, he was in Ireland at a time when so much change was happening as well. So the first year he was there was 1913, and then he doesn't come back because so much happens in between then. There's the First World War, then there's the Civil War in Ireland, the War of Independence, the Civil War, the establishment of the Free State. There was chaos in Ireland. So he returns in 1924, and he spends every summer from there on until his death in 1929 on the Achill Island. And they bought a big house there called Corrymoor. But he would have been so much of the pieces that I will kind of draw on Sunday are taken from or inspired by these people like on the west coast of Ireland, not just on Achill Island but of the on Aran Islands, the Blasket Islands, and certainly they inspired so much of the literature of the time, and some of it in reaction to, of course, Joyce resisted that sort of idealized vision of Ireland and sort of undermined it comically very much in Ulysses and Dubliners and you know, so there's another generation of writers in Beckett, and you know they take a very different tack when looking at what it means to be Irish, you know.
Irish. Yeah. Now, would you like to read a poem in English?
Sure. What would you like to hear? Something a Yeats
or yeah. I don't know, is there anything with the ideal Irishman?
Oh yeah, there is actually. There's there is a poem called The Fisherman. It's a Yeats poem. And it both embodies that sort of idealized vision of what an Irishman could be, but mostly from the perspective of feeling, he feels that that's not possible. It's no longer possible. So 1919, it's just, it's after the war, it's after the 1916 rising has been crushed. And there's a, in some ways, he's questioning what it was that questioning sort of the values or questioning what it is and was it worth it, the struggle. So I'll read you a little part of this. It's a great poem, and it's called The Fisherman. Although I can see him still, the freckled man who goes to a grey place on a hill in grey Connemara clothes at dawn to cast his flies. It's long, long since I began to call up to the eyes this wise and simple man. All day I'd looked in the face what I'd hoped would be to write for my own race. And the reality? The living men that I hate, the dead man that I loved, the craven man in his seat, the insolent unreproved, and no knave brought to book who has won a drunken cheer. The witty man and his joke aimed at the commonest ear, the clever man who cries, the catch cries of the clown, the beating down of the wise, and great art beaten down. Maybe a 12-month since, suddenly I began, in scorn of this audience, imagining a man and his sun-freckled face and grey Connemara cloth, climbing up to a place where stone is dark under froth, and the downturn of his wrist when the flies drop in the stream, a man who does not exist, a man who is but a dream, and cried, before I am old, I shall have written him one poem, maybe, as cold and passionate as the dawn. So in a way, it's an elegy for this sort of, this he talks about the simple and wise and simple man.
Yeah.
And in many ways, you could say it's the pre-industrial people.
Exactly,
way,
exactly. You know? And William Butler Yeats.
Yes, that was William Butler Yeats. And in some part, he's also the middle section where he talks about all the people he doesn't like is because there were a lot of magnates in there were business people. He sort of felt that the mercantile sort of spirit was taking over in Ireland, and there was the 1913 lockout, which was when they were trying to create unions and they couldn't create a union, and there was then when he says and great art beaten down, Hugh Lane was somebody who was trying to donate paintings to the city of Dublin, and the corporation couldn't get it together and couldn't, you know, sort of didn't want it, was sort of refusing to take them, and he was just, I think he was very disillusioned. So there's always in Yeats's poetry, or certainly in the sort of from the 1990s on, or 1890s on, you see both the sort of this optimism and this vision, this fierce vision, and then it's mixed with this sort of disillusionment.
We're talking to Akushla Bastable. We only have a couple of minutes left, but let's talk for a moment about the musical part of this event coming up, celebrating the Irish imagination. You talked about the Selkies, and that's the name of the group that's playing. The Selkies meaning, what, the seals or the seal people?
It's really, the Selkies are the seals. And when I talk about the seal people, it's because people talk about the seal people in respect of those are the people living on the islands who have had encounters with the seals.
And so they're kind of like almost a magical relationship between people and this sea mammal.
Yeah, I mean they're sort of they're mythological creatures, and
but they're real too.
Well, they're real. Yes, they are real in the sense of.
I mean, do you have seals swimming off the coast of Ireland?
We absolutely. Oh, we have definitely have seals singing swimming off the coast of Ireland, but their ability to transform themselves into human beings is the part we're
not sure about.
Well, it's not. I love that you said they're real, aren't they? Because I believe firmly in the role of such creatures and in our not just in for our imagination, but I think it's important. There's a reason they exist. There's a reason they exist, and actually, there's something that Maeve Ní Gucaín, I was reading earlier. She wrote about the role of myth. Myth is a basic fundamental structuring of our reality, a narrative that we place on the chaos of sensation to make sense of our lives. And I believe that. I think that there's that, you know, perhaps. When you're not living in such a cluttered environment, the veils between what we might term as reality and the other worlds are not so thick, and they become a lot more transparent and perhaps sometimes go away. So yeah, there is the Selkies are a very important part of the Irish imagination, and the group Selkies made up of. Char and Robbie and Brenna Rothschild are fantastic. They draw on music both from Ireland and Scotland. I'm just really honoured that they are able to play with us on Sunday. They're extraordinary musicians that explore in many, many different sort of musical idioms. And this is but this is something that's very close to their hearts. They love the Irish, and they'll play rebel songs, they'll play sort of more haunting ballads, that they cover a wide range.
The event is called Celebrating the Irish Imagination. It's on Sunday, November 13th at 3 o'clock at the Museum Education Annex of the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum at 123 Grant Avenue. All of this is in conjunction with the exhibition From New York to Corrymore, Robert Henry and Ireland, which is running through the 15th of January. Akushla Bastable, thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much, Mary Charlotte.
Now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday, just about speaking of the arts,
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for driving all the way in.
Happy Friday and happy Veterans Day.
Happy 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Oh, that's right.
11-11-11.
11-11-11.
And there's that big celebration going on where they're doing all kinds of blessings. And
was this the thing that's happening in the rail? Is it in the
rail yard? Yeah, the rail yard. Yeah,
music,
we talked about that yesterday. Music.
Water something.
Water something.
Yeah.
There are people who believe in holy water.
Yes.
And others who don't.
Mm-hmm.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun, actually. It sounds like there's good things going on all day, and there's a little ceremony at 11:11 this morning.
Yeah.
And what else is going on?
That event kind of snuck up on me. It was sort of like last minute. I didn't really know that much about it until I listened to your show.
Oh.
And you were speaking to someone who was involved with it.
Raphael Weisman,
who sort of everything fell into place.
Yeah.
Sort of at the last minute, and this big event going on. I'm sitting here tripping out on these paintings here.
By Nick Gadbois.
Nick Gadbois over here at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
Nick is a very, very good painter.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a little silly to try and describe paintings over the radio. But
we do it all the time.
But imagine scenes of the natural world with buildings in them, and then there's sort of like color filters over each of these scenes.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing
yeah.
it.
Which ties in perfectly to a story that I wrote in today's Pasatiempo about iPhone photography, which is a pretty nerdy subject.
iPhone photography, that
iPhone
is a nerdy
photography.
Subject, and
yeah.
it's so ubiquitous that finding the good iPhone images would be challenging.
Yes.
What I love about them is that they're both magical and desolate, these Nick Gadbois paintings.
Yeah. No.
At the same time, it's strange.
Yeah, no, there's no people in them. It's a very deserted feeling.
Yeah.
But in an awesome way.
I've known his work for 20 years, and he's a very, very good painter. And, you know, the paintings here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're, you know, a good start, shall
yeah.
we say.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's the real
thing. And when they're good,
we tend to
mention it.
Yes.
What is going on this beautiful week?
You tell me.
Well, there's the weekend, but I got to get something out of the way first.
Okay.
2001 Winter Writing Contest, Pasatiempo Winter Writing Contest, is in full effect. And we have a couple of things going on. We have a couple of categories. We have a story. We have a poetry or prose up to 500 words for kids, and adults up to 1,000 words. And then adult writers, we have something called Everyone is a Critic this year. This is your chance. This is your chance to sound off, like we do a lot.
Everyone is in fact a critic.
So any event, like a book, a play, a film, an exhibition, or a concert, or a CD that's sort of that you've experienced or was released in the last 3 months, write a 500 word or less review about it. And include the venue and date. And if you go to look in the Pasatiempo, you can find out about the writing contest. We do this every winter, stories. But this year, there's a new, you know, the critique part of it is new. The winning entries are going to be published in Pasatiempo on Friday, December 23rd, right in time for Christmas. The deadline, though, is 4 p.m. Thursday, December 1st. So pick up a copy of the Pasatiempo and find out details about our writing contest.
You know, being a good critic is no joke. It's not easy.
It's not. It's not.
I remember the first time I went to Los Angeles many years ago, and I picked up the weekly paper, and I didn't know any. I'd never been to Los Angeles. I've never been back since, actually. But, and I thought, you know, oh, it's just going to be cheesy Hollywood celebrity. And I read the film reviews. They were so good. I was like, I got a depth about this film without having even seen it. If I do see it, it will enrich it to have read this review.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's true. You know, I've only been doing it for, 11 years?
I know, you're good.
Something like that.
You're good.
11 years, and I still struggle with it. I still struggle with it. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the calendar. Let's talk about events that are happening in town this week.
Phrases, a night of music and poetry, Tuesday, November 15th at 7:30 with music by Simple Spells, cello and piano duo, and Pitch and Bark, drum and bass duo. Poetry read by College of Santa Fe, SFUAD, creative writing alumni and faculty, including Dana Levin, Tommy Archuleta, Joanne Dwyer, Christopher Johnson, and Michael Wilson. It's at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space.
Sweet.
Nice.
There's a lot more art openings going on than there were, it seems, than last week. A pop gallery over there on Water Street is having their pop their annual Pop Love exhibit, and there's a reception tonight at 6, I believe it's at 6 p.m. Red Dot Gallery, which is a great gallery that supports Santa Fe Community College students and their work. There's a reception over there from 4:30 to 7:30 tonight. Lumen Photography, so this is a photography show. Let's see, Santa Fe Weaving Gallery. You were telling me something about you were going to go see some rugs this weekend, right?
Yeah, there's a rug. There's some kind of rug auction. So I don't even know anything about it. My friend is taking me there.
Awesome. I don't know if I would. You said it was like in Gallup or something. I'm not sure if I would drive that far for a rug.
Sometimes getting out of Dodge.
It doesn't matter. It's not the destination. It's the journey.
It's the journey.
Yes. Because, it's a rug journey, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, because you take a magic carpet to get there. That's the good part.
Yes. There's some Veterans Day events, of course. We have the Veterans Day Heavy Metal Showcase tonight at Warehouse 21. This is awesome. No, I'm kidding.
Is that a new event? I've never heard of that before.
I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
I know a lot of vets, a lot of guys that returned from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they went there country music fans, and they came back heavy metal heads. And there's a great lineup. Casa Vita is on the bill, and they are sort of, it's like their comeback, but it's a two-piece metal act. And who else is going to be there? East of the Wall and White Arms of Athena. I love some of these names. And Soul to Rest. That's a 6:30 p.m. at Warehouse 21 tonight. Let's see.
And to honor the work of the New Mexico Environmental Law Center, Southwest Seminars is presenting a lecture by Jack Leffler, author of Adventures with Ed, A Portrait of Abby, on Monday, the 14th of November. The lecture is titled Defending Homeland, Decades on the Front Lines of Environmentalism in New Mexico. It's at 6 o'clock at the Hotel Santa Fe. There's a small admission fee for the lecture. Refreshments will be served. And if I may add, Jack Leffler is one of our great treasures here in New Mexico. He's a wonderful writer, great environmentalist, and just the nicest guy in the world. Saying.
I concur. Hey, there's a Veterans Day parade today, and it starts on the plaza at 10 a.m., and there's a ceremony at 11 a.m.
Excellent.
And if you want to find out more information about that, you can call 955-6042. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate for the parade today.
It does. We'll see. I just saw a glimmer of sun.
Yeah. Here's a really cool event. I mentioned Warehouse 21. They are doing a Rock for Food event. And this is on Saturday, November 12th. There's going to be tons of live music. And basically what they'd like is they'd like you to bring non-perishable food items to donate to the Food Depot, Kitchen Angels, and Youth Shelters of Santa Fe. And this event is on Saturday, November 12th. I believe it's 2 to 10 p.m., so it's an all-day thing. We've got performances by The Strange, Chongo, which is a great local cover band, Zealous Grooves, tons of DJs. There's going to be an art exhibit, and this is a great way to bring attention to the need to stock our food pantries, not just during the holidays, but always.
The Muse Times 2 Poetry Series continues this coming Thursday, the 17th of November, at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, with poets Jacqueline Oshiro and Catherine Strisik, and both distinguished poets. For more information, you can call Tommy at 577-5974.
Hey, it's time again for the Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival, right? It's our cover story in Pasa Tiempo today.
That's a nice cover on Pasa Tiempo.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's amazing what you can do with other people's stuff.
With rusted cans.
Yeah. But the trash fashion show is really one of the highlights, and there's a costume contest as well. That's tonight at 7 p.m. at El Museo Cultural. The festival itself runs 5 to 9 p.m. tonight, and then 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, November 12th, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, November 13th, and this is all at El Museo over there in the rail yard. And you can go to recyclesantafe.org to get a full list of events and find out what ticket prices are and all that stuff. I don't know if it's too late to enter the fashion show, but you could probably log on and find out.
Also on Thursday, the 17th of November at 5:30 at Santa Fe Art Institute, there is an open studio event, and the open studios are with their residents, and as I've said before, I always enjoy going to the open studios and talking to those folks, because, for example, they've got people
artists who are residents at the Institute from Brussels, Belgium, Seoul, Korea, Copenhagen, Denmark, San Francisco, the Bronx, Detroit, Chicago, Homer, Alaska, and New York. Now, what are they doing in each of those places?
I don't know.
You get used to what people do around here and our sensibility in the Southwest and in Santa Fe, but anyway, it's a wonderful opportunity to go over there, and you can find out more at 424-5050 in the 505 area code, or go to sfai.org, Santa Fe Art Institute. And I'd like to congratulate the Art Institute on their wonderful event with Bill McKibben the other night.
How'd that go?
It was I think it was one of the most exciting and important events at the Lenzic that I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot of events at the Lenzic, and I love the Lenzic. But it was very, very special. And I'm going to try to get the audio of that. I had Bill McKibben on this show a week or two ago, but it was such a different feel and such a different event, and he said such different things. I'd like to let people who weren't there hear it, so I'll probably try to broadcast it in the next week or two.
I've seen some photographs of him during that event, and it looked like there were parts of it that were quite intense. So I'm interested to hear the audio if there is one.
Yeah. I mean, the audio of the whole thing would be too much to play because there were a lot of other presenters and local people doing great artworks and stuff. It was all about art. Anyway.
Okay. Hi, Mayhem Emerging Arts Fall Series. Emerging arts facility and record label and multimedia production collective. I love these guys. They're over there on Siler Lane now. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary with performances by Audible, Whispering, Half Quartet, DJ Duo, Pitch in Black, and Ink on Paper, which is one of my favorite duos. And that's at 7 p.m. on Saturday at the High Mayhem Studio over there on Siler Lane. There's a suggested donation that you can find out more at highmayhem.org. If you love experimental music, go and support these guys. They're awesome.
And tonight at El Farol, enjoy Cuban Salsa at 9:30, the Jakes at the Tin Star Saloon, the Hidden Whale, which is indie rock, at Santa Fe Soul, and Flamenco Nuevo Mexico Music and Dance, Casa Chimayo, wherever that is.
Yes.
Soul Man Sam at Evangelos, Country Night at Buffalo Thunder. So many other things. Lots of music and dance going on. Only one salsa, but you know, can't have everything.
Here's an event that's happening on Sunday, November 13th. KSFR radio host David Bacon, from Living on the Edge, is in conversation with Amigos Bravos, a New Mexico River conservation group, in a discussion called Coal-Powered Horror Show. Ooh. And it's at 11 a.m. on Sunday at Travel Bug over there on Paseo de Peralta. And let's see. You can call 992-0418 to find out more information about this, but it's a free discussion. Show up, grab a coffee, which you will pay for.
But not that much.
And talk about the coal-powered horror show.
Very interesting.
Tons of music happening. You know, one of the nicknames I have for my dog is Narnia. I'm not sure why. It just kind of happened. But this weekend, their Pandemonium Productions student ensemble presents Narnia the Musical, sort of based on the book, you know, The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis.
Uh-huh.
And there's a performance tonight at 7 p.m. at the James A. Little Theater, and it continues Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th, and Sunday and Monday, November 20th and 21st. So if you call 982-3327, you can find out ticket information. This is a fun fall show for kids. It really is.
Yeah.
They love the Narnia. They're all over the Narnia.
Did you read those when you were little?
I did not.
I did not. The first one I loved. A lot of those series of children's books, the first one is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they're never quite as good after that, or at least, or maybe I just got tired of them or something, but The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was just gorgeous.
I'm embarrassed to say, I think I'm the only person who hasn't read it.
Yeah, you're the only person in the whole world.
That I know. Everyone I know says that they have read the book, and I have not. But
well, you still could.
I've seen the films.
is that the same with Harry Potter?
No, I watched the first Harry Potter movie and lost total interest in the whole thing. Just totally lost interest.
Hey, did you hear about 99? Was it
99 or the 99?
99 for 99.
Is that
did Herman, we talk about
isn't
that?
Isn't that Herman Cain's?
No.
What is it?
Han Ross Gallery is hosting a fundraiser entitled $99 for $99, a benefit arts to benefit arts programming at the New Mexico School for the Arts. All sorts of notable artists like Michael Nominga, Darren Vigil Gray, Jennifer Joseph, Tony O'Brien, Elizabeth Hahn, Nancy Suter, many more. 99 pieces of art will be created on a 10 by 10 birch panel by New Mexico School for the Arts visual arts students, faculty, and artists from the community, and each one is available for $99. The opening reception is tonight. It goes through Sunday, and it's at Han Ross Gallery at 409 Canyon Road in Santa Fe.
Did you talk about OR yet? O-R-E?
Uh-uh.
You didn't. It's a Site Pacific dance and theater performance, an art installation at 2 p.m. on Sunday at the Santa Fe River Arroyo at Avenida de Cesario. And if you park in the Agua Fria Park parking lot off Caja de Oro, there's no charge for this. It's very hard to describe what these folks are going to do. But if you go to Sarah Ashkin, that's SARAHASHKIN.com, you can find out more information. I'm not sure what's going on. There's an art installation and there's a bunch of people dancing in the riverbed.
That's
so
good.
Yeah. And let's see, what is a performance at the screen, right? We've got an encore of Don Carlo, and that is also on Sunday at 11 a.m. It's at the screen. Santa Fe University Art and Design on the campus.
And speaking of some more 99s, Ye Old Axel Holiday Shoppy, S-H-O-P-P-E, buoyed by the success of their 99 cents to $99 exhibition in October, they are presenting Ye Old Axel Holiday Shop, a selection of small, affordable art and artist-made objects from 30 local artists, and it's weekends. It hasn't started yet. November 25th through December 11th. Anyway, we'll read that next week. Or Thanksgiving. No, you know what? We're not going to be here the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to be digesting tryptophan.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Yep. I'll be on the couch. I'm not working that day.
I'm on the couch, too, with many small dogs.
Many small dogs?
Well, at least three.
Oh, I've got three big ones.
That's right, you do.
You want to trade?
Sure. No.
No. There is a... Desert Academy is having a book sale. And I believe the book sale starts on Friday, today. And there's a preview from 5 to 7 p.m. Today. And then the book sale runs... Let's see, where is it? Saturday. Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday. And I believe, Saturday 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and then on Sunday 9 a.m. to noon. And there's going to be films, books, CDs, and more. Do some holiday shopping.
Holiday shopping, get it over with.
Support Desert Academy and get over there.
Do all your holiday shopping in November.
Yeah. Oh, that's not going to happen.
I know, but it's a goal. It's a worthy goal.
Yeah.
And let's see. Burt Dalton. And his trio are at Jazz Ba in Albuquerque tonight, at El Maison tomorrow night at 7:30, and here in Santa Fe, and then the Enduring George Shearing Quintet at the Center for Spiritual Living at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Neato. Let's see. Pink Martini. You ever seen Pink Martini live? It's a 12-piece pop lounge group. They're playing at 7:30 p.m. on Monday. There's your chance. At the Lindsay Performing Arts Center. And they tend to come to town at least once a year.
I hear they're really good. I think from you. In this chair. No?
It might have been me.
It might have been you.
They you know, I'm afraid they might be getting overexposed. But they do come to Santa Fe a lot, but they're going to be here on Monday. The 14th at the Lenzic, so go check that out. Country singer-songwriter Don Williams is also going to be at the Lenzic. That's on Tuesday the 15th at 7:30 p.m. Do you like country music?
It's not in my top five.
Music,
you know.
Likeability scale?
The time that I most loved it was during a particular time where I had just had my first love and gotten heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And country music was sounding good around that time.
Oh, yeah. It's the commiseration language.
Right. All the different ways that you want to just lay down and die.
Right.
Felines and Friends of New Mexico is a local cat rescue and placement organization that finds homes for abandoned and neglected cats. This week's featured kitty is Blackfoot Daisy. She is a playful and beautiful baby girl with short black hair, No, short black, white, and orange tortoiseshell coat. And if you would like to adopt Blackfoot Daisy or think about adopting Blackfoot Daisy, you can call 505-316-2281. 316-2281. You can also email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
I want a kitty.
Well, just don't let your three big dogs eat it.
I know, that's kind of a problem. I have one very big cat, so that can hold his own, but I don't think a kitty's going to happen for a while anyway.
No, I can't. I've got two Jack Russell Terriers. Any cat that comes into my house will be a cat sandwich.
Oh, dear.
We don't want that.
No, we don't.
The dogs do, but...
Wednesday is a day for music in Santa Fe. It is at Pixies. The rock legends, the indie, the alt-rock legends are going to be performing at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. This one might be sold out, but you can contact Alenzik and confirm that. I believe it's probably sold out fairly fast. And then also on Wednesday, Seniat, I believe that's how you pronounce it, a New England global pop trio is performing at one of my favorite local galleries, Caldera Gallery, over there on Baca Street. Right there, it's in you've got the Counterculture Cafe, and it's in that same little parking area. And they do some funky stuff over there. This group is they actually left a CD in my box, and there was a note on it that said something like, "If you think this is new age music, you're wrong." And I played it, and it was actually quite interesting music. Global pop is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, you got to put disclaimers like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people won't even listen to it.
Right. Or they'll list it as new age music.
Exactly.
In the calendar, which would be a horrible, horrible turn of events.
Great music from unknown operas with Stephen Coutet, opera expert, is at 5 o'clock on Thursday, November 17th at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe. The RSVP number is 629-1410, and so all kinds of unknown operas. Very, very interesting. If you're an opera fan.
I saw that. That actually looked pretty interesting.
Oh, here comes the music.
Oh, really?
How can that be?
Oh, my gosh. Go see Sanguivorous, a new Japanese horror film with live music. It's a silent film with live jazz.
Yeah.
And that is 3 p.m. Sunday, November 13th at Warehouse 21.
Excellent. And, my computer just went crazy.
Your computer just went crazy?
It just went crazy. Here, read something else while I try to get it back up.
Read something else. The Straight Up Quintet, did we talk about them? They're playing at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, also, Night of Music, La Lodge at Santa Fe. Call 428-1527. They've got some great people. Arlen Asher's going to be on the reeds, and Paul Gonzalez on trumpet, and John Trenacosta on the
That's Wednesday, the 16th of November?
Wednesday, the 16th of
Yes,
November.
That's a KSFR benefit.
Yes.
I just got a note about that, too. 7 o'clock. Definitely, definitely check that out, ladies and gentlemen.
Show up.
Yep.
428-1527.
And boy, there's too much to talk about. But anyway, Vista Grande Public Library, Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow in El Dorado, is having its annual fall book sale from 10 to 7, and Saturday from 10 to 5, 466-7323 for more information. And it's almost time to go.
It is almost time to go.
Yeah, I should put on the music early.
Huh.
What else?
Well, we've got some movies here.
Los Muertos Fine Artworks. Los Muertos Open Studio, Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And that is at 701A Viento Drive in Santa Fe. If you like kind of Day of the Dead style stuff, it's very good stuff. Go ahead, movies.
The Screen, The Mill and the Cross is screening at The Screen. It's an art history docudrama in English and Spanish with subtitles. Gets 3.5 chilies from Douglas Fairfield today in Paso Tiempo. And Jonathan Richards reviews The Skin I Live In, which is a nice, creepy Spanish drama. And that is a 4-chili review. Few and far between in Paso Tiempo. So go and read that and check it out.
All right. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/Radio Cafe. My email is RadioCafe@KSFR.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering. Thanks to the entire excellent KSFR staff for all they do. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz. Hey, we've got a half a minute left, and so I'm going to let you know that Girls Inc. of Santa Fe is having a benefit at Body tomorrow from 5 to 7 in the afternoon. We talked about that on the show a couple of days ago, and what they're doing over there is you get to participate in the kind of workshops that they do at Girls Inc.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's not just food and hanging out. It's like actually doing cool stuff. And we already talked about Sanguivores. Anyway, lots of good stuff. Check out the Pasta Tiempo and everything that we haven't talked about. You will find. Rob Duwalt, have a wonderful weekend.
You have a wonderful weekend, too.
Ciao.